Hey, 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 welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. This is your host, Tim Hunzi. We have a super fun episode today with my guest, Dave Cohen. He drops a lot of knowledge from a lot of areas because the man has had great success as a session player, both in demos and master quality sessions, as well as a producer, as well as a songwriter. The man has a lot to share, and I'm just super excited about this episode. So buckle in and enjoy the ride. Hey, 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 welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. This is your host, Tim Hunzi. We have a really fun episode today. We're sitting with my friend, Dave Cohen, who's not only a hit session player in town, a hot session player, I should say, a producer, and also now is a songwriter. So the man has many hats, does many things, and has a lot of wisdom he is going to share. That's my expectation, Dave. Are you ready to share wisdom with us today?
I'm bursting with it.
This is why I have you on here, so you could drop wisdom.
I can't contain it any longer.
Yeah, wisdom bombs. Everybody needs some knowledge. So let's just start off. For those that may not know you, you want to give us a little bit of your background on how you got to be the Dave Cohen I know.
Yeah, I grew up in Canada, toured in Canada as a keyboard player. All I wanted to do was be on the road and be on a tour bus. And then I did that for a whole bunch of years. Moved to Nashville, did the same thing with Joe Nichols, and I toured with Wynonna for a bit, and I did dates with Big and Rich and a bunch of crazy people, and then the road wasn't it for me, road manager was like, "You guys are playing Letterman," and my response was, "Ugh." Is this a swearing podcast or no?
Oh, yeah, go for it, man. This is unedited.
My gut reaction to your playing Letterman was, fuck LaGuardia, fuck a 4 a.m. lobby call. That's bullshit. Anyways, that was my attitude, and I needed to remove myself from the road, and I started playing sessions, and that was awesome. And then, at some point in time, I started hitting walls and ceilings and started to produce and then started to write and just sort of grew these other things to do. And here I am, kind of a lot of things to a lot of people.
Well, a quick question. What made you decide Nashville? I mean, from Canada, there's a lot of options, obviously, and Canada is creative, which people probably don't know. When I worked at Anthem Music, which is Canadian-based, for those that didn't know, I went to some of the, not just the Country Music Awards, but the Juno Awards. And sometimes you forget, so you're sitting at a Juno Awards, how many amazingly talented musicians and artists come out of a small place like Canada? Because population-wise, the percentage is astounding. But what made you go, I want to hit Nashville?
I mean, there is a ceiling in Canada that you realize. And I was touring with two of the larger Canadian artists, a dude named Johnny Reed, and who lives down here in Nashville, and he's a big star in Canada and gets to come down here and live in Brentwood and anonymity, and does really cool things here in town. And I was touring with him and a singer named Amanda Marshall, who is a fantastic artist. And in Canada, the bigger you get as an artist, the less number of shows a tour is. So once you stop playing all the little tiny places in between the big markets, you know, there's 15 major markets across Canada. So as the artists I was playing with, they grew, the number of gigs went down. So I heard about this thing in Nashville, and you can basically play for one person, and that can be your entire job. And I got offered the gig with Joe Nichols, and they were like, "We have 130 shows this year on the books." And I was like, "Sign me up." I mean, that was the biggest no-brainer. But why Nashville, you'd asked? I had, coming from Toronto, New York, LA, Nashville were all kind of the three places I was looking at. And really, Nashville was the closest, and I sort of, by process of elimination, New York, I wasn't really interested in. LA, it's cool. I love visiting LA, but I don't think I'd like to live there, as the song goes. So yeah, Nashville raised its hand as a place to be a working musician. There was this kind of blue collar level of musician that existed where you could just kind of work and pay the bills by playing.
I know that you spent years doing that, moved up into some master work as well, and really continued on this journey. Where in this path did you start seeing the songwriting come out, or maybe you had already been writing and I was unaware, and then also you have that other layer of producer. Did you start venturing into that in the same path, or did something you said, I'm going to start doing that? Walk us through that transition and that growth.
The way it happened really was just as like my time on the road, I noticed myself kind of being the guy I didn't want to be. I also noticed in the same thing in sessions when, you know, it's like I was really fortunate. Things got busy. I won the keyboard player awards and the Music Row stuff. And it's like things are going great. And I was 31. And I remember going, like, have I peaked? Do I do this for 40 more years and then die and that's it? Like, here we are. And I was sort of having those conversations while spending a lot of time with Joey Moy, working on whatever records he was producing, probably an FGL record at the time, and started going, man, I got to figure out what's next. I was thinking I need to be a producer. I feel like I know, you know, I've spent a lot of time in the studio. Like, I feel like this is something that I can do. You know, do I need to go to Lower Broadway and find a young country upstart to, you know, to go like, oh, you're the one. I'm going to make a star out of you, kid. Like, do I need to do that? And, you know, Joey, in his sort of like apathetic Canadian dryness, he's like, you could like, or you could, you know, edit these drums. I was like, all right, show me how you do that. So I comped the drums, and then he showed me how to comp the bass, and then the guitars, and then how he thinks about things. And that turned organically into this sort of couple year, I like to think of it as like producer school thing, where I sort of spent a lot of time with him working on his productions and got some co-producer credit along the way. But like, I was there, it was sort of fly on the wall. I just wanted to sort of learn his instincts and how he treats records, and what do you do every record, and what do you do different every record, and like, how, you know, just... He's been so successful cross genre, cross decade. You know, it's kind of like he knows something.
Yeah. You literally started at the top. If you're going to pick a guy to like mentor underneath, might as well pick Joey Moy. He's like the god of like rock. And then he comes to town and just crushed, you know, from the FGL, Morgan, you know, Hardy. The guy's just nonstop cranking these monster hits out, man.
Absolutely. And so to be there and watch him do that and take part in that was just fucking incredible, really. And watching Big Loud and getting to know all the people in that building and just the way that they do their business. It was awesome and informative and fantastic. And Joey is, you know, I couldn't speak higher of a guy. And then at some point, he's also a very hard worker, and at some point the grind, I needed to find some work-life balance, and I needed to just step away from that. So I, you know, high five Joey, we're great, and I play on his sessions now and still work with him a lot. But then I was like, okay, now I'm producer Dave out in the wild, you know, now what? And it quickly dawned on me that the other kind of superpower that Joey and Big Loud and those guys have is that they're song people first, and his superpower is like the fact that the town sends him the greatest songs, and they're always writing for his artists because they trust him to land the plane, proverbially. And so I might have taken for granted while I was there the quality of the songs that I was working on as a producer, as my first foray into it. And then when I went into this place of like producer for hire, and then the people that reach out to you from Instagram, sometimes the level of songs leave something to be desired, but it's your job as the producer to make it sound as hitty as possible. And that's a noble job, and you do the best you can with what you're given. But it was that moment that I kind of realized, oh, fuck, songs are really important to this equation, to the production equation. And it was right around that time that my friend Derek Wells was working at Spirit Music, and he was like, you should be a songwriter. And I'm like, I was thinking about that. And so him and Frank Rogers gave me my first pub deal. So I put production on hold for a little bit and focused, dug in on songwriting for a couple of years. I had my first 4 years as a writer and did some stuff, and that was great, and had a song at radio and kind of just got the reps in, or a bunch of reps. And so now I am coming to life with kind of just this tool belt with tools and experiences and instincts and just sort of reacting to what's around me.
Must be a curiousness or a desire to keep learning, I would think, maybe. Is that like, what is the constant thread for you in this? Like, that's really wild to me, because not everybody has this kind of journey. Yours is pretty unique.
Yeah. There's this sort of complacency thing that I am maybe hyper worried about. Like, I have a worry of being complacent and resting on my laurels and whatever. And so every couple years, every 10 years, every 5 years or whatever, I have this urge to, and in my head, I call it, I'm going to get in the passing lane. And it's not sustainable. You can't live there. But when things get really comfy, it's cool to do uncomfortable things and say yes to things that you're not entirely sure you can do, or whatever, whether that be signing a publishing deal or whatever, working as a producer, learning production, as a session player. And typically, I guess Nashville's not great at allowing people to sort of shed their skin and do new things and be multiple things. That was sort of what I was told about Nashville. My experience was not that. My experience was really that people embraced that change. And I think it's kind of important to have these days, as any sort of person in the music and on the creative side of things, if you're a producer or songwriter, to as many skills as you can have, those skills are all going to inform you in whatever room you're in and whatever you're doing.
What are some of the particular skills for somebody that may be interested in like the pursuing a life as a producer? Like, what are some of the special skill sets or things that you have found really helpful in that role for you?
There is no doubt that having some sort of musical playing background, there's no doubt that that doesn't help you. Being able to play guitar, to whatever level you can, understanding the actual sort of mechanics of music, that's going to be really helpful to you as a producer. Using Pro Tools, Logic, GarageBand, Ableton, FL Studio, whatever version of DAW that you're going to use, know it really well and use it as an instrument. There's no rules really as to sort of what you're doing, but I think you're basically, your job as a producer is to land the plane, to, you know, build the house and whatever. So to have an understanding of recording, to have an understanding of music, to have an understanding of songs, to have an understanding of the music business and how managers and agents and label A&R and publishing A&R all interact. I think that all of those things are really important. So it's kind of like you can't do it all at once, but I think that like you talked about me doing a bunch of things, I think that is the secret to being a well-rounded producer. I think that musicians, songwriters, producers, we're all in terms of AI machines. Here's another metaphor, is that we are all just sort of AI machines, and our whole lives are our sample data set. And we're just, for the last, you know, I'm turning 40 this year, last 40 years, I have just been taking in data, and it's all equal. The time I spent in bar gigs when I was 18 to playing on records and playing on demos and touring, and all of it informs everything that you do. And I think to give yourself the widest data set is going to be the biggest, going to give you the biggest advantage as a producer.
You know, now that you're kind of in a position of influence, you know, you've worked into this role, do you mentor younger players or producers, kind of like Joey did you? And what advice do you give them?
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk to anyone about anything at any time. You know, like I absolutely love getting to go out for coffee when a young new session player comes to town and goes, hey, I'm playing keys and playing on sessions. I'd love to pick your brain. Like, I'm all about that. And because I did the exact same thing. I took everyone out for coffee or a beer and just sort of mined everyone for information. So I love to, you know, opine on whatever it is that I'm asked about. And the advice often is just kind of chill. Like, you're here. You can't force it. You can't make it happen. You can't make the phone ring. You can't make people, you know, hear you, but you can show up early and you can, you know, if you're a session player, like, have good gear, know your gear. You know, if you're a live player, like, you know, don't be a jerk. like if you're on the road, like, most of your day is spent hanging out on the bus, hanging out at a hotel, hanging out at a venue backstage, hanging out at an airport, and you play, you know, 45 minutes or 90 minutes a night. The rest of the time is the thing that's going to get you hired or not. And there's a certain desperation that people have, and it's sort of like the fear-based thing. Like the fear-based music decisions, you make sort of fear-based just career decisions, and you carry yourself with a certain thing when you're at a bar and you're going, man, I need a gig. I need to win this over. It's like, chill and just be good and like be cool and friends. Again, it's like, it's all, to me, it was all about making friends.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, as a producer, I hire my friends, because if somebody goes, I'm the greatest drummer
that has ever been to Nashville. I go, like, that's really cool. But, like, I know a bunch of drummers that are really awesome. Maybe they're not the best drummers in the entire universe. But, man, I love hanging out with them, and I love their creativity and whatever. So that's the crux of it. So it's like, and you can't make friends quickly, and you can't, you know, you can't make old friends, as they say. But it's sort of a just chill out and enjoy, and don't be so stressed about work.
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzi. Producer, Brandon Harrington. Mixing and editing by Casey Porter. And this has been a Dime Collective production.